Well, good morning. You can have a seat. Those of you that are home because you didn't set your clocks back or didn't pay attention to it or you turned it off, whatever you did, we're glad. We wish you were here, but we're glad you're home in your pajamas having coffee. This is one of the highlights of what we do here at New Hope is having baptism. Some years ago, Becky had been struggling with a pretty serious illness. It has impacted her a lot. And I remember one time we were having a baptism and I said, "Sweetheart, why don't you stay home?" She goes, "Oh no, I don't want to miss that ever." I think if we're not careful, we can miss things that really matter. And baptism is a big deal. And all of heaven pays attention when someone's baptized. I want to explain what we're doing and then you're going to hear. We have five people being baptized this service, three at 11. I'm going to explain something because a lot of us may have backgrounds that tell us different things. At New Hope, we understand baptism as this, is it's a ceremony that someone has that is signaling something that's already happened in their life. This is Fairfax County public water. It's got chlorine in it. It is not holy water. It doesn't become holy when we use it. But what we're doing here is a holy moment. We have the people, different ages, that have decided, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I understand why he came. I want him. I'm declaring publicly what's already happened, that he is my Savior and he's the leader of my life. No one's going to glow in the dark after this. Baptism doesn't make them different. It is a milepost event, though, because they're making a public statement about what has happened to them. So when we're doing baptism here, these are people that have made their own commitment to follow Christ at different ages, and you'd only have to be old enough to understand what it means. You don't have to know everything in life, and you're going to see various ages here that have come to that point of saying, I know I need Jesus, and I'm grateful that he loves me. There are two pictures that happen when the people are in the water, and let me say who's baptizing. We give people the opportunity to ask who they want to baptize them. Jesus never said this has to be the hired holy people that do it. He just says, once someone becomes a follower, I want them baptized. And at New Hope, what we've seen is that those that have, we've asked people, you're being baptized, so who's been a major influence on you making a commitment to follow Jesus? And so sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's someone on staff here, but there's a wide variety of people that baptize, and you'll see that today. Two pictures that you'll see when they're baptized. One is, the basis of our faith is not that we're now promising God that we're going to be good. The basis of our faith is that Jesus died and was resurrected. His death paid the penalty for my sin, and the moment I accepted him, I have the benefit of that now and forever. So the person will go all the way under the water and be brought all the way back up as a reminder that Jesus' death and his resurrection is what is the basis of my faith. And the second thing is they're making a conscious decision. I want Jesus to be the leader of my life now. The old way of me being in charge, me being the boss of my life, I'm burying that. And I want to be raised to live this new life where Jesus is in charge. Are they going to do it perfectly? The answer is absolutely no. But are they going to be progressively working on this and showing that Jesus really is the Lord and Savior of their life? All of us need to be doing that. So you're going to hear some stories. Some people have videoed, some haven't. But this is a special time. All of heaven is watching, we are. So what I'm going to do is pray, and then we're going to be participants in watching and hearing the story of five people that have crossed the line of faith to accept Christ. Let's pray together. God, it almost seems wrong to say it's fun, but it really is. To be able to see these lives, people that have made that decision, they've recognized you've been pursuing them, you want to know them, they've accepted your invitation, and now they've made a decision to make that commitment to you public. Help us to support them, encourage them, and those of us that are watching that have not yet accepted you, I pray that you would speak to every one of us of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen.
I learned like three or two things. So first he died on the cross for his sins. I forgot the other thing, but my third one is, he saved us. Do you want me to tell you the ABCs? A, admit that you have sin in your life. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross that saved you. And then C, choose to follow God. Some things. First, I make my friends. Jesus heals me a lot. I worship God, I pray to Him, and I listen to Christian music. I pray every night, I pray four times a day. Morning, lunch, dinner, snack, and bed. So, I pray for like three things. Each pray, I pray for the homeless people. I pray for the guys in the world that's hurt and sick. And I pray for our family. And that's all. I would say, pray, go to church, and learn, and then get baptized at your church. That Jesus died on the cross for sins, and that He loves you. Me and my dad read the Action Bible. Action Bible is like the Bible, but with pictures and that stuff. And there's different stories. And there's like one part, whole part, it's like split in half. There's one whole part with Jesus was not born that part, and there's one part that Jesus was born. Good to read it, and wanna make God happy, and that it's fun. I love how Jesus was born and He lived. My name is Coden, and I'm gonna get baptized today. And because Jesus is the Lord my life.
All right, Colton, we are so proud of you, and I can't wait to see what the Lord does in your life. Ready? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
because I want to feel like I'm closer to God. When my mom was sick, me and my dad and my sister, we prayed for her, and the next day she got better. I feel safe, and this shows that God is around. Well, there are three things: listening, being patient, and spending more time with my family. You'll probably use me as somebody to spread the gospel. It's about the King Josiah at King at age 8 and found the book of God and read it to his whole town, because the name is written and said just like my name. And also because it's just so powerful. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us from our sins. Jesus is real, and he's looking out for all of us. My name is Josiah. I am getting baptized because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Josiah is so proud that he had God called you to himself at such a young age. And he's truly excited to see what the Father does in your life. And with that, Mom?
I just also want to say, you know, it is an honor to be able to baptize you today with your father, but I know God is so excited to see that you are publicly professing your faith to let other people know about the kingdom of God. So we are so proud of you.
Yes, sir.
But God is more proud.
Absolutely. And so with that, son, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is my friend Kelly. We're new friends, but we have something in common. We're not just friends, but now we're brothers. And when Kelly didn't want a video, but what he did write was very simple, and it just said that his acceptance of Jesus is because there was a hole inside of him that he needed filled. I've heard a lot of us say that before, that there was just something missing. I mean, you can have everything the world offers and still it doesn't do what we keep thinking it's going to, and modern advertisers says it's going to do. It always wears out. Jesus never will. So it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother. I'll do that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's get back here. Hold on. Thank you.
already died on the cross for us and that he came to save us. He died on the cross to forgive our sins that we're gonna do, and he helped us go through tough times, and he was really nice to us, and he answers our prayers. Baptism washes away original sin, and it makes your heart, like, it heals your heart a little bit. The homeless people, my brother, my dad, my mom, my pets, and have a better school day tomorrow. Use me as an example or something, like teach other people like how I became a follower of Christ and how I got baptized, and you'd probably use me as an example. I've been a little bit kinder and like not raise my voice as much, and I try not to do all the things like that are like not good. My name is Alexandra, and I'm getting baptized today because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Alexandra Grace Waymeyer, we are so proud of you, and we're excited that you made this decision to be a follower of Christ. And we want to thank all the staff here at the church and all the members and all of your teachers and all of your family and friends who have inspired you to make this all-important decision. It is my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I met Lori through an unfortunate situation, a sad situation. 2 years ago, January, she lost her husband, Michael. But the Lord led Lori to New Hope Church and also our Grief Share program. And so that's how we got to get to know each other quite well, just walking through that journey together. And in the meantime of that, she realized that she needed God more in her life. She started being faithful in her attendance at church. You might have seen her at the side door as a greeter. She started serving. And she started being obedient to what God called her to do. So today is just another big step in her faith and her trust and what God has done in her life. The exciting thing is that she didn't run away from God when she had pain, challenges, and struggles. She ran to God. And God has given her hope, healing, and a purpose. And so today it is my honor to baptize you, Lori. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Pray, be good people and be nice to others. Treat others the way they want to be treated. Because he's the Son of God and he died on the cross for us. The people in my household are Christians and I want to be like them. So God would forgive us and our sins. Like, it's like two little metal balls like we were talking about in Splash Class. Or they like, when I do something bad, they like, let's say one follows our relationship with God, and the other thing is, the other ball is me, and they like, when I do something bad, they just meet up and bounce. And then on Easter, Jesus likes makes a barrier to like, fix our relationship with God. Now that I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm nicer to other people and my relationship is closer with God. I tell my friend to believe in Jesus and ask him for forgiveness and pray to him a lot. I learn how to. And I learned how to get closer with God and have a better relationship. My name is Logan, and I'm getting baptized today because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Hi, everybody. This is Logan. We're very proud of you on all the steps that you've taken. Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And we've asked him this since he was a little kid. Where does Jesus live?
In our hearts.
In our hearts. So we're really excited to baptize you today. So grab on. So I baptize you in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Of the staff here at New Hope, and I am so excited to be able to baptize Mitch Woods today. One of the things that I get to do here at New Hope is lead a class called Starting Point, and that's for people who are investigating what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. And Mitch was in one of my classes, and so I had a front row seat to see Mitch ask his questions and wrestle with some things, but ultimately yield his life to Jesus Christ. So this morning, I am so excited to be here and kind of close the loop on this journey that we've been on together. So, Mitch, it is my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to be baptized because I believe in Jesus, and I want to be, like, actually connected to him, and I want to be closer to him. When Jesus died on the cross, it freed everybody from their sins, and I believe that, and I believe that he really just brought us into the world, and he really saved us, and I believe him in my heart. I would tell them to become a follower of Jesus, you have to pray and ask God for forgiveness, and you also have to tell them that you believe in Jesus in your heart, and you also have to actually, like, read the Bible and go to church and, like, be very faithful towards him. I act differently because I am loving towards people I don't like, or like that I don't really like that much, or I'm mean to, or they're mean to me, I still love them. Right now I'm praying about the people in Ukraine and about Kiev, and I'm praying about being safe and happy and America won't go to war and some other things. My name is Luke Harrington, and I'm getting baptized today because Jesus is the Lord of my life. Bye!
My name is Steph Schleyer, and I know Luke through children's ministry, and it has really been so great just getting to know you over the last couple of years and to watch you grow in your faith and to ask all those hard questions. And it's just been a privilege and an honor to be a part of your journey at such a young age. You had some really wise things to say in your video. So, Luke, it is my honor and privilege today to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We just got to be a part of something that is really, really amazing. I'm going to read to you a passage. This is in Matthew 28. Jesus, right before he left the work he wanted done through you and me. He wanted done through his church. He said this to his disciples and to all of us by extension. He goes, Jesus drew near to them and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. I want to just look at this passage just for a minute because it's really the marching orders we have as a church, or any church should have. You know, we can get caught up in all kinds of things. The last 2 years, we've seen people all around us caught up in stuff, and we've seen churches slide into things that are really secondary at best. And this passage reminds us of whose we are, but also who we are and what we ought to be about. Jesus starts off by saying, all authority has been given to me. There is no one, there is no group more powerful than Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem is we think of power as power being used like we're seeing in Ukraine, where power does whatever it feels like doing, regardless of whether it fits moral standards or is right or wrong. It's just power can do whatever it wants. If that were true of Jesus, the earth would be wiped out. He's pure and holy. And if he wanted to use his power just to exercise justice, Russia would no longer be here, and we'd all say, well, at least one person in Russia. We might say that. But thing is, if Jesus exercised justice today, not a one of us would be here, because none of us are perfect. We tend to grade sin on a sliding scale. It's like when you're driving down the freeway and you're only going 10 miles over the limit, and the guy that buzzes by you is going 15. Well, they're really wrong. You know, we don't understand this idea of God's mercy, because we tend to write our own stuff off a little bit. Jesus said that every one of us are sinful. He has all authority. He could do whatever he wants. And what he's chosen to do is to wait to exercise full justice until everyone has a chance to make a decision to accept him as their Savior. He doesn't want anyone lost. Not everybody will, but he wants the door open. And that's one of the reasons when he's telling his disciples, he said, look, all authority is mine. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You don't have to be concerned about what someone else may threaten to do to you. I'll take care of you, and if I don't keep you from things, I'll help you walk through them. It's really, really something we should never, ever minimize, that Jesus really is the greatest authority in all of the universe. He says, all authority has been given to me. He says, I want you to go to all peoples everywhere. And again, one of the things we've noticed in the last couple years is we tend to like people that are like us. We have a great affinity for people that are like us. And what Jesus is saying is that every person on this planet was created in his image and therefore should be afforded dignity. That doesn't mean everyone acts dignified. That's another story. But we should treat everybody as having been created in God's image, and therefore we have something in common with them. There's a beauty to that. We also have this other thing in common, that every one of us is broken, every one of us. And so what he's saying is, I want you to go to everyone. I don't want you to treat anyone as less than. I don't want you to treat anyone as, well, they're not that big a deal, not that important. Everyone, whatever age they are, wherever they grew up, whatever their education, however big their wallet is, it doesn't matter. Jesus really cares, and he loves them. So we're to go to all people, everyone within our spheres of influence. And it says, I want you to go and make them my disciples. It doesn't mean that I can make anybody follow Jesus. I can't do that. I don't have the power to do that. But what he's saying is, I want you to live in such a way that they're going to get a picture of me by how you live. And in your circle of influence, people are watching constantly. There are even people that you don't realize that are watching you. You know, where you buy gas, where you get your groceries, the people that come by your house that are knocking on the door to collect money for the school. The people all around us are picking up clues from us about what's really important and what matters. And we're to be the best examples we can be of what Jesus is like. We use our example. That opens the door for us to be able to use our words. There are some people that say, well, since I'm not really living a Christian life, I'm just going to be quiet. Well, on one hand, thank you. The very best and the very worst advertisement for the Christian faith are Christians. Those that do it poorly, people have seen that and they've been disgusted by what they see. They don't have anything to do with it. But when we do it well, not perfectly, but when we do it well, it opens the door for us to explain, so why do you live that? Why are you making these choices? I don't understand. Why would you be willing to give up something that you really wanted for the sake of someone else? Why would you give up your time, your talent, your treasures, all these things for the sake of others? And to the degree that we do that rightly, it's because we're following Jesus. Another thing is when we screw up, is to, as soon as we know it, to go to someone and say, look, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Because if we don't do that, and they know we're Christians, they're going to say, see, that's just what they're all like. They're phonies. They're hypocrites. They're not real. But within our spheres of influence, we have a role to play. You know, when Josiah was being interviewed, he said, I think God wants me to share the gospel, tell the good news. That's for every one of us as we live it, and then we get to explain it. And then invite them to explore. Invite others around to say, why don't you check out Jesus? Give them a reason to want to. So we go, because Jesus is given, he has all authority, he's given us a command to go to people everywhere to help them become followers. Then they're baptized. Baptism follows that decision. And it says this, it goes, and teach them to obey everything that I've given you. The ongoing role of being a follower of Jesus is not to look back at a milepost event like this and say, well, whew, I got that over with. It'd be kind of like getting married if I said, well, you know, 43 years ago, Becky and I got married. That's kind of set it and forget it. I've tried that, and it doesn't work real well. Basically, you've started something, and you need to keep figuring it out during different ages and stages, different circumstances. All you need to figure out, what does it look like to really love? In my case, what does it look like to love Becky along the way? What do I need to learn? What should I unlearn? Following Jesus is the same thing. We learn to obey him, not because we're earning anything from him. We don't earn relationship with him, but we get to obey him because he knows the absolute best way for us to live our lives. And he would never mislead us. So once someone becomes a follower, they should get connected into a good church. There are plenty of them around. Get into a good church. Learn what the Bible says and start applying it in your life, because this is what, when you and I do that, then we're going to have a life that others are going to say, I want to find out more about that. I want to know why you're able to do this. I want to know, I've seen you change. In our circles of influence, people are watching us constantly. And if they see something changing in us in a positive direction, they're going to, how did you do that? What's the secret? And the secret is really a person who is changing from the inside out our attitudes, our values, beliefs, our behaviors. And when that happens, we can be a light in the world, a light in the darkness. Jesus caps this off. He says, all authority's been given to me. He gives us our assignment. And then he goes, I will be with you always. We've got friends here that have gone through some just horrible circumstances, whether it was health or finance or other things. And they've learned in the midst of that they weren't in it alone. You know, God doesn't promise that he's going to make life easy for us. He doesn't promise. And you can buy the books and you can go to the seminars and say, well, if you just do these three things with God, he guarantees you're going to smell better, you're going to look better, you're going to have more stuff, you have a bigger car, bigger house, all this kind of, that's just a bunch of hogwash. I can save you all kind of money. This side of heaven, God hasn't promised anything except he's given us an assignment and he will be with us. And if that being with us means that circumstances need to change for us to continue, he can do that. But if it means he needs to change us to meet the circumstances and the challenges, he can do that too. He's capable of transforming us so we can meet whatever the moment is. And at the end of the day, we realize he does have all authority and power. And he's with me. I'm not alone. You know, Psalm 23, a lot of us have heard that. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil because you are with me. I think sometimes we forget that. We think, oh, he's up in heaven somewhere busy, you know, training the angels or whatever they do up there, rather than saying that he is right here with us. He so much wants a relationship with you and me that he gave his life so that the door could be open to it. And he's not going to abandon us. He's with us right now. He'll support us. He'll care for us. He'll forgive us when we mess up. He'll allow us to have lives that have impact and meaning. And there is no better place to go than him. These people that were baptized today, they have made public something that is really, really precious and important. And my guess is some of you here, some of you online are wondering about where you stand. Maybe you were baptized at one point and you had big plans and it's just kind of slid by the wayside. You haven't really thought about it, and this is reawakening something. Rather than let it fuel guilt, why don't you let it fuel some movement? Saying, God, forgive me. What do you want from me now? Some of you may not have ever crossed the line of faith. You've thought about it. Maybe you kind of enjoy spirituality, but you haven't really thought about what does it mean to really cross that line and accept Jesus as a Savior and the leader of my life. And if you've got any inkling about that or you have questions about it, ask me after the service. You can ask one of our hosts online, someone on staff, one of your friends you know that's a follower. Just say, I'm trying to figure this out, and I've got some questions. God loves it when we ask questions. He will never be put off by that. We've seen something here today that's really, really precious. We've been part of helping build a memory that will last, and not only those that were baptized, but those that were baptizing, family, friends. It's a precious thing. I want to give you just a quick note. Next weekend, we're starting something we've never done here at New Hope, and we may never do it again. Becky and I are going to be doing a series on the life of Peter, and it really goes through... Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and he was just like you and me. Big plans, big fails, constantly trying to figure it out. And we've never done something like this together. If our marriage survives. But it's something we've been thinking about this for a long time. And I'll tell you, Becky is a phenomenal teacher. She really does. I mean, she's the one person that regularly gives me feedback so I can do better at what I do. And so it's going to be a treat, not a sideshow. It's going to be pretty serious stuff, but it's going to be fun in the process too. It's going to be the Life of Peter series. Is called Simon Says. So I hope you'll join us for that. What I'd like you to do is I want to introduce Elaine Ward. Elaine is chair of our leadership team, and this week we got someone on our prayer team had written a prayer for our church, and when Francis sent it to us, it was like, this is really amazing. Come on out, Elaine. And so I put Elaine on the spot, and I said, would you mind praying that with us today? And she said, huh? No, she didn't say that. She said, I will. But I'd like you to stand, and we're going to pray together. Elaine's going to lead us in this prayer that Francis wrote. And I want you to think about it as we pray. There is a whole lot to this.
Good morning, New Hope. Praying for our church this morning. Father, we pray for your powerful, life-giving spirit over our church today. We know that you are able to do beyond what we think or imagine. I pray you would strengthen our leadership for the tasks that you've given them. Give them discernment about what to pick up and what to put down. Teach them dependence on you and a heart that craves to follow your leading. Please confirm what you are telling them so that they know they are hearing your voice. Jesus, we pray that you would cause the body at New Hope to choose to live by the Spirit. Bring conviction and healing, forgiveness and unity. Bring families together with your patient and relentless love. Please guide us by your love and by your Spirit. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.